Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us on the radio dial here at 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com, whether you listen to us through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. We have author and cancer survivor Andrea Rayner will be joining us live here to talk about her journey and her book, The Voice That Calls You Home. Before we get started, though, here's our musical break featuring Jatun with a new single that's written by Leon Huff, Please Come Home for Christmas. We'll be right back with Conversations Live. Stay with us. Artist Jatun with Please Come Home for Christmas, a single that was written by legendary singer-songwriter Leon Huff here on Conversations Live. If you remember, I actually got a chance to speak with both Jatun and Leon Huff last week right here on this program. It was an amazing interview. So if you didn't hear it, you can always go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com to be able to listen to the podcast. I think you'll really enjoy it. As I said, we have author and cancer survivor Andrea Rayner is joining us live to talk to us about her journey and her book, The Voice That Calls You Home. Andrea, welcome to Conversations Live.
Thanks, Cyrus. Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations to you for one thing on the courage that you've had to be able to write this book, but also in your own life. And I want to begin, if you don't mind, Andrea, with your life. Talk to us about the journey of being a survivor of cancer. A lot of times we don't always hear the positive stories and the positive outcomes. Yours has been one of those. What has it been like for you, and how has it changed your life being a survivor of cancer?
Well, you know, I'm sort of part of a long legacy of survivors, and I think that definitely helps. My mother is a breast cancer survivor, and my grandmother, who passed away not long ago at the age of 106, was also a breast cancer survivor. So, I always try to share that with, especially the women in the audiences, so that they know that just because you have a diagnosis doesn't mean you have a death sentence. And so, I kind of drew on the strength of those women in my family, as well as some male survivors of various cancers. But, I was a hospice chaplain for years before I received this diagnosis myself. So I think it's safe to say that kind of walking with so many families through their own crises and their own pain really helped me to deal with my diagnosis with a little more courage.
Wow. You know, I'm so glad to hear you say that, Andrea, because I think a lot of times we are put in situations to prepare us for what sometimes can come ahead. And sometimes even individuals who are going through different challenges in their life, being with them during that time helps us as we are then preparing for our own challenges. You talk about, of course, your work as a chaplain, and now you have this book, The Voice That Calls You Home. As you are helping people, whether it's physically or being able to now help them through this book by sharing your message, what has it been like for you to know that you are literally changing someone's life? You're helping someone to not think of this as a death sentence, to think of it as an opportunity for them not only to learn more about themselves, but something larger than themselves as well.
Well, it's really humbling, I have to tell you. And the talks that I've given, my favorite part is always participation from the audiences, and as people share their stories of courage and hope, and sometimes the victories don't come with the extension of life, but maybe someone who's lived their life with courage and did succumb to their illness, and that doesn't mean that was a failure on the part of that individual. So for me to be able to share my story, because again, I went from a hospice chaplain, so that's, I'm at the bedside of the dying, but there is that step removed to someone who's put on that green hospital gown and who's tasted that fear of death and of being swept up in a healthcare system that is sometimes confusing. I think I can offer at least a little more empathetic presence to patients and to those who share with me their stories.
Exactly. Andrea, I have to ask you about faith and your own faith, how it may have, if not tested, been fortified through this experience. Because I think sometimes it's funny, during our midday show today, I was speaking to a woman who also had challenges in her life that dealt with health issues. And I asked her, she said it was actually during that time that she actually realized what faith was. For you as someone, who has really built a career, I guess, around faith and what is possible, how does this experience affect your faith and impact your faith?
Well, again, I think it's very humbling in many ways, Cyrus, because, I grew up in a very strong Christian family, and faith was always a part of my life. And I would, I thought of myself as someone who whose faith journey was always sort of progressing forward. And yet when you get your own diagnosis, I think if we're truly honest with ourselves, at least for me, some small part says, hey, wait a minute, what's happening here? I thought if you lived a good life, if you served others. I'd been a chaplain to the morgue at Ground Zero after 9/11, working for a year in that recovery effort. I had, been a hospice chaplain for years. So I think there's a primitive part of us that sometimes thinks that we are protected from these things that happen to everybody else. So I had to really dig a little bit deeper in my faith so I could come up with a faith that didn't rely on life going well, because that's really the only way that we're going to live freely. If we can find that faith that says, illness or health or you know, or death or despair, we still are held in the arms of the beloved.
Yeah. You know, I love what you just said, Andrea. I've never heard it put quite like that, but I think that is a great thing for our listeners, that, I mean, that our faith is not contingent on life going well.
Exactly.
And I think that that is, if we all thought of things that way, I think it would help us in our own appreciation of challenges in our life.
Yeah, and it is not easy, and I think for all of us there will come a time, you know, if it's not, it may not be illness, it may be loss of a job, it may be going through a divorce, it may be the illness of a parent, but there will be some moment, I think, in all of our lives where we have to face a challenge, and it's okay to have those momentary feelings of despair, but the hope is that you feel the ground underneath your feet again, and you can move on. And when you do move on, it's going to be with a little more strength in your legs.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. Again, we're speaking with author Andrea Rayner. She's written the book, The Voice That Calls You Home. She also is a cancer survivor, as we were talking about. And she was just talking about something. I tell you, Andrea, that I'm going to have to write that down because I think that is such a great thing for anybody going through something who may feel like, you know what, I've been faithful. Why is this happening to me? That our faith is not contingent on things going well. And I think if we get to that point, as you said, it's not easy, but when we get to that point, how much easier the situation will be for us. So talk to us about The Voice That Calls You Home. What was it that inspired you to write it, and what do you hope readers take away from it?
Well, I think initially what inspired me was my work at Ground Zero after 9/11, and I had worked as a chaplain to the Morgan site, so I was offering blessings on remains as remains were being uncovered and brought to this little trailer. The crime scene officer would be there, you know, notating what part of the body it was, and there was a photograph since it was a crime scene. Every piece of every person was logged by hand into a book, and then a chaplain would offer a blessing. So after about 5 years after the event occurred, I just felt like I needed to process everything that I had seen and experienced. So initially, these stories started to come as a result of that experience. And as I was thinking about Ground Zero, of course, the faces and the stories of families that I had been with through hospice came into my mind. And again, just the precarious nature of life and how do we live with hope and how do we handle the challenges that come in life. And then in the middle of writing that, I was, I think we were just about to, my agent and I were just about to put the book out and see if we could get a contract when I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Wow.
And it's funny, she said, you know, what are we going to do? Should we, you know, keep this from the publisher? And I said, no, this is all part of the story. It's, you know, a short a few chapters, so, you know, kind of flushed out the book, gave me my street creds, and I thought, this is all part of it. This is going from the macrocosm of the world's tragedy to a little bit closer at the bedside to my own personal tragedy. And
right.
And how do we try to, you know, live with some feeling of hope and triumph. And I have to tell you, Cyrus, there were moments, and I know, again, sometimes religious people feel like they can't admit to when they are having those down moments. Does that make them less faithful? And it really doesn't, because when I was feeling down, one particular day, I was walking, you know, with my dogs, and I just really wanted to have a pity party for myself. I just was feeling low, and I could not, no matter what I did, I could not really sink because I knew so many people were praying for me. And
wow.
I started to laugh. I was like a beach ball. I tried to submerge myself, but I kept popping up. And that's really the blessing of faith, is that when you don't have it in you to believe yourself, there are others who can support you until you can, you know, get back on your feet again.
You know, Andrew, I want to ask you this question because I know as our listeners are processing this, whether it's on the radio side here in Mississippi or online through blogtalkradio.com, I think what you said about the way that the events unfolded, you were making yourself available to serve there at Ground Zero, and then you came into a situation But then you needed to be served. I mean, there was a personal need. Do you feel as though because you have been so eager to serve, that in some ways helped to, maybe not to reinforce things for you, but at least put things in perspective of your own life versus the thousands who lost their lives 10 years ago?
It's interesting. I mean, if I'm understanding your question, I felt very honored to be called in that situation, very touched with some of the things that I witnessed there. It was incredibly moving to be a part of that effort at Ground Zero, and I really wanted to share the stories that I was witnessing with people who would never know these holy moments that happened in the middle of that, you know, sheer hell of Ground Zero. So I think as I was there serving, I was so aware of this tidal wave of beauty that was coming back to me in the eyes of the workers who were toiling there night and day, and the firemen who were raking through the dirt with their bare hands for, you know, bits and pieces of their brothers and sisters. And it was so moving that I think that's how we don't burn out. We give, but we're also fully aware of the circular flow that comes back to us. And that's true with hospice as well. I'm always so honored and amazed when a family opens their door to me and to the rest of our team, because we're just strangers coming into a very intimate time in the life of a family. So that, I think that helps us, just being aware that we are always receiving as well as giving. Otherwise, the giving isn't really genuine.
And I think it goes back to something you said at the beginning of this conversation, Andrea, and that is you come from a list of survivors, not just from your family, but so many others who have had to survive not only cancer but other challenges, as well as those firemen who, you know, were survivors, who were there making sure that no one was left behind and that everyone got the respect that they deserved. And I think we can see that in what you're doing today, too, Andrea, and we definitely appreciate that. Again, we're speaking to Andrea Rayner. She's the author of the book, The Voice That Calls You Home. And, Andrea, I'm so glad that you and I got a chance to connect here, because I think our listeners, as we're heading to this holiday time so full of the rush of getting things done and what we don't have, sometimes we forget to take the time to appreciate the little things, appreciate the gift of life that we have, and the people that we have around us that are, you know, are there to help us through those challenging times as well. And I'm glad you're able to help us put that in perspective.
Oh, I'm just so honored that you've given me the opportunity, because, you know, I'm so aware that during this time, it's such a beautiful time of the year, whether you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, it's a beautiful time of year for people of all faiths. And yet it's also difficult, because so many people will be aware of an empty place at their tables during these holidays. This is a time we really feel the sting of absence of loved ones who have moved on. And I think one of my hopes when I wrote the book, especially in the title, is that in my experience, and I have been with a couple thousand people who have died now, there is almost invariably this magnetic pull towards some greater home. You'll hear someone say, you know, I want to go home, and they're laying in the same bed they've been in for 50 years. And, you know, what is that about? They're not confused. They're intuitively wanting to connect to that that primary source of all of our lives, whatever that is. You know, we can't really conceive of what awaits us in that next life, but I can assure you that there is something to come.
Exactly. I totally agree with you, Andrea, and I'm so glad that you were able to take out the time to share this with us. Now, for our listeners that want to find out more information about you, the work that you've done, and also about the book, where's the best place for them to find you?
Well, they can go to either my website, which is www.revandrearaynor.com, or they can simply just Google The Voice That Calls You Home, and they'll come up with the book. And there's a place on the website if anyone has questions or would like to contact me. I'm happy to respond back. And I'm just wishing everyone a really blessed holidays for those who are struggling and for those who are celebrating. You know, hope that they feel that connection to the source of light and love and beauty.
Exactly. Well, thank you again. I'm Andrea. Again, Andrea Rayner, the author of voice that calls you home. I'm so glad that you were able to come in to share with us. Again, the website is www.revandrearaynor.com. That's R-E-V, andrearaynor.com is where you can find out more information. And, of course, the book's available on amazon.com as well. So, Andrea, continued success to you, and we hope that you'll come back and chat with us again.
Thanks, Cyrus. Thanks for being just a wonderful voice in the community.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, and definitely keep doing what you're doing because you're making a difference.
Oh, thanks. You too. All the best.
All right. Same to you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have our quick and easy cooking tip coming up from our resident chef, Bruce Treader, right here on the radio side of the show. For our online listeners, I'll be back with you guys at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. That's 5 p.m. Pacific time for the primetime edition of Conversations Live. Until then, my name is Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day. Enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Have a great one.